Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. In this third and final installment, Ross Lichtenhouse, Vice President of Strategic Development at Altus Group, is speaking with Robert Kilroy. As we mentioned, Robert is a longtime industry participant, developer, and investor living in Charlotte, North Carolina. And these gentlemen will discuss the rising need and value of data in the student housing industry, new innovations, and student housing development lessons learned.
Thanks, Matt. Rob, thanks for joining me. A significant portion of our business is on data and analytics, aggregation of data, business intelligence around data. Where are you getting most of your data? Are you happy with the amount of student housing data that's out there to help you make decisions? And, you know, in terms of kind of perfect resources and access to it, does that exist today? Could it be better? What are your thoughts around that?
Well, you can never have too much data,
Yep. Obviously.
And you all do a great job and provide a service that, as you know, I've relied on for over a decade. But generally, I rely on two sources of data. And one is the research companies that provide data on student housing. I will tell you, I think Axiometrics is the leader. They do a fabulous job on surveying the market, on thinking through critical issues in the market. But they aren't alone. I mean, all of the major shops that do provide real estate data in general not only think about data and statistics, but are getting better and better at it all the time. So that's one level that we regularly look at. The other thing that's very interesting, and I'm a little hesitant to mention names, but for concern that just in free associating here, I might leave out some good friends. But I will tell you that the brokers in this space have matured right alongside the developers. And there are five or six brokers who are very thoughtful about the market, know the market very well, and control a lot of the space. I mean, I look at people like CBRE, Jacqueline Fitz does a great job, Ryan Lang at ARA, Tim Bradley at TSB, there are four or five others. Four Point, Chris Epp is very good. Peter Katz at IPA, at Marcus and Millichap is really very good. And so there are very thoughtful brokerage firms who provide not just transactional data, but also thought data that we rely on regularly and is very, very, very compelling. Triad from Chicago is another. I really like these guys, and they do a very good job of not only brokering, but they do individual market research pieces that come out periodically that are just remarkably helpful.
You know, it is it has grown exponentially, you know, over the last really two decades, decade and a half. Some of the risks have been and missed, like you said, have been dispelled. But what is, in terms of the deals that you look back on, and I know you've done a lot of the deals, what is the biggest regret you had in doing a deal? What would you have done differently? And what is, you know?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, Ross, that in today's environment, the cost risk of building these communities is remarkable, and it impacts all of us as developers from both a cost perspective and a timing perspective. And so we're all under a tremendous amount of pressure. When we gain our entitlements post-zoning to get going, and mean, I can point to instance after instance where maybe we have started before we had completely finalized plans, where our time frame was just so tight that we couldn't pause and make sure that the product that we were delivering as time passed was still the best product to deliver. So I would say, and so really where that translates is that I can point to transaction after transaction where the if we had been able to bring in communities at the original cost basis where we thought we would be able to bring them in, instead of hitting a double or a triple, we would have hit a home run. And it is on everybody's mind. It's part and parcel too of increased density. I think this impacts the conventional multifamily market as well. As everybody moved towards urban living, and all of a sudden we went from garden communities to podium and wrap product, the ability of architects to really design this without a full range of a very large number of RFIs and ASIs and change orders, et cetera, they just couldn't design the product quickly enough. And experience for them, as it is for us, is a great teacher. And I'd like to believe that a lot of the risk that we assumed going to density has now been wrung out of designs. But every time you push to the design envelope, you get into this problem. And if I had bullets back, I think the taking a somewhat slower approach to getting going and design could have led to higher levels of profitability and margin to the developer and partner.
So timing.
Timing. Yeah.
That's with everything in life, right?
That's right.
I'm going to ask you one last question.
Sure.
In terms of the future of student housing innovation, is there anything that you can point to in that asset class where if you're looking 10, 15 years out on the horizon, and it could, I mean, run the gamut of autonomous vehicles to augmented reality to artificial intelligence, I mean, all things around technology and innovation, do you see certain things related to student housing, the way those products are built, amenities, how they interact with academic institutions? Are there a couple things you can kind of predict and say, you know, these are some things that we're following, or this is what I see out on the horizon?
Well, I would argue that we are on the verge of a sea change in how we live generally, and you point to driverless cars. I think of more efficient transportation. We haven't really discussed the discount to lack of proximity to campus with student housing. But I will tell you, I've seen time and time again that discount tends to lower depending upon the efficiency of the services with which transportation services with which you move your residents around. I just think of an example in Charleston, South Carolina, where the company where I was working spent a lot of money to provide transportation to school and on weekends to the entertainment district, et cetera. And it was very expensive. But I'll tell you, we were a market leader with not a proximate community. And so I think of different ways that we're going to get students from locations that are not immediately proximate to campus and get kind of excited about that. Generally speaking, I mean, I think that in terms of design, the implementation of alternative power sources into our communities with solar panels, and a full range of economizing and more energy efficient facilities at the communities are the way to go. And just as it is with conventional multifamily, I have I've always been skeptical of those who say that nobody will pay for energy efficiency. I think that's all changing, mm-hmm. and it's going to continue to change. So I think those are two areas that I see in the design and development of communities that really excite me. And another is there's no doubt that being close to campus is a real real benefit to students. And so we continue to think through ways of building greater density through better land use and design, and of course height. And one of the attributes that we look at very, very closely and that I'm intrigued by is that, going back over the last decade, it used to be that you'd build stick up to three, and after that you'd build concrete, and then there were various breakpoints in where you could do what you could do and what you couldn't do. I mean, I was on LinkedIn the other day and saw a fascinating article about a Japanese company that's building, I forget how tall it was, like a 30-story skyscraper out of wood. And so, we have that type of structural and utilization innovation that from my perspective is just fascinating. And then the other, another product that I think is really great and is very good for now, above five stories, which is kind of the limit for standard stick built, notwithstanding the much bigger wood buildings that we're seeing now, and lower than, let's say, 15 to 18 stories, where the economies of concrete really start to kick in, is there is a cold form steel alternative that is gaining great traction. And the cost of that was not effective up until recently, but innovation in that product is leading us to conclude that it is very quickly becoming an alternative, and one that offers a number of efficiencies that we hope to design into our communities.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most exciting aspects of our industry is how quickly through technology, both materials as well as the technology inside of buildings is advancing. One of the things that I've been following very closely is kind of the experiential aspect of how technology and innovation are integrated into buildings. What are your residents experiencing? How are they interacting with the building? And you talk about, smart appliances and in some cases even smart materials. And I think all of that really plays into it. And so in terms of folks that are going to be looked at as the next innovators in our industry, whether it's student housing or not.
Right.
That's really where it is. And
sure.
If you can wrap your mind around the sustainability, the resiliency, the experiential aspect of interacting with technology and innovation in the buildings, the autonomous vehicles, somebody gets that figured out. You're talking about really monopolizing opportunity in the industry. And so for me, that's one of the really exciting aspects. Well, Rob, I want to thank you again for taking the time. Really, really good to have you. Certainly has been one of my favorite podcasts that we've done by far. You're a very knowledgeable guy. And thanks for taking the time to come visit with me in the office here.
Well, thank you. As our relationship has grown over the years, I certainly look to you and all of your associates as thought leaders, and it's been a pleasure to chat with you about student housing today. It's a great business and one that, again, I think is just in its infancy. And we'll see where it goes.
That's great. You bet. Matt, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you.
You just heard an exclusive Altus Group podcast series interview. In this third and final installment, Ross Lichtenhouse, Vice President of Strategic Development at Altus Group, spoke with Robert Kilroy. As we mentioned, Robert is a longtime industry participant, developer, and investor living in Charlotte, North Carolina. These gentlemen address the topic of the rising need and value of data in the student housing industry, new innovations, and student housing development lessons learned.